Father, we come before you this morning, and we thank you, Lord, once again, for the opportunity, Lord, to fellowship. What a blessing it is, Lord, to sit back and listen to the conversations. I truly pray, Lord, that you were in these conversations today, and that, Lord, you'd build friendships in these men's lives. Lord, as your return approaches, we're going to need each other more than we ever have before. And so, Lord, that's my heart for this. And so, Father, this morning, as we share, or as I share, I should say, from Luke's gospel, Holy Spirit, I pray that I'd share what you put on my heart. This has been cooking for a while. Holy Spirit, would you speak through me to these men? I pray that you speak to every man that's sitting in this room this morning. Again, Lord, they could have been anywhere else this morning, but they chose to be here, and they want to hear from you, Lord. So give them ears to hear. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 1. And like I said, we're going to read the first verse for context. So in the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people, that's a lot of people, had gathered together, so they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven, that is the yeast, of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the rooftops. Wow. Oh boy. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Let me read that to you guys again. The very hairs of your head are numbered. God knows every single hair that's on your head. Wow. He's pretty powerful. He's all-knowing. I lost my place.
Around the hair.
Okay, yes, the hair. Thank you. But the very hairs of your head, verse 7, head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than the sparrows. Also, I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him, the Son of Man, will also confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. In other words, what he's getting at is if you reject Christ, if you reject the gospel, if you reject the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, you won't be forgiven is the point. Verse 11, now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. And so this section, Jesus is on the topic of hypocrisy, okay? He's addressing hypocrisy. Now as we get through verses 13 through 34, he's going to address covetousness. So we're going to read that. Okay, and I'm reading this to set up for verse 35. And so verse 13, then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And he said to him, man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you? And he said to him, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. I want to read that to you guys again. Some of you guys need to hear this morning. Take heed and beware of the covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. So in other words, it doesn't matter how much stuff you have. Okay, your stuff isn't what it's all about. What it's all about is a relationship with God. Verse 16, then he spoke a parable to them. Now, how many of you guys have ever heard the term parable before? Okay, literally the word parable in the Greek, it means a casting or placing side by side. What basically a parable is this. Jesus is going to use an earthly illustration to point out a spiritual truth. And generally when he teaches a parable, there is one truth to take from it. Okay. Now, there are certain teachers who will try to pour all these kind of meanings in different things. But ultimately speaking, when Jesus teaches a parable, he's going after one subject and one truth from that subject. And he uses an earthly example, something that they could relate to at the time. So he says, then he spoke a parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, I love it, soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. In other words, kick back. And then Jesus says this, but God said to him, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things will be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Verse 22, and he said to the disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or nor the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. By the way, do you guys remember those things called malls? Remember those? Okay. Before you ordered everything on Amazon? And when you went to the mall, what was there? The food court? What you wore, right? All these things he says not to worry about. And so when you would go to the mall, after you leave, you'd feel like you were mauled. Get it? Verse 24, thank you. I'm going to fire my joke writer. Oh, it's me. Okay, verse 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn. God feeds them. Of how much more value are they than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? By the way, can you add a cubit to your stature? Can you add height if you worry about something? The answer is no. Because if that was true, I'd be like 8 foot tall. Verse 26, if you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon, that's King Solomon from the Old Testament, in all his glory was not arrayed or clothed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat, or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows the needs, knows that you need these things. You need these things. Verse 31, and this is an important verse, guys. But seek first, seek the kingdom of God, rather, and all things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in heaven, in the heavens, that does not fail, where neither thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Okay, so if I could summarize those verses, it's that serve God with what he has given you and understand that what you have came from him. Okay? Amen. Now, all that's to set this. You're like, you're going to teach. No, I'm going to teach the next few verses, okay? Verse 35, we're going to read through the section we're going to cover, and then we're going to back up and unpack it. Then he says this. If this wasn't enough, he's addressing hypocrisy. He addresses covetousness. Now he's going to address faithfulness. He says this in verse 30, let your waist be girded. We'll explain what that means. And your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master. And when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. As assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Verse 38, and if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Then Peter said to him, of course, Peter always has a question, which is good, actually, because I probably would ask the same thing. Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said to him, who then is a faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over his house to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him into two and appoint his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed these things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to him much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Okay. So he says in verse 35, in light of what we just talked about in the preceding verses here, or we just read, I should say, lest your waist be girded and your lamps be burning. When he says your waist be girded, okay, in those days they wore a long flowing robe, almost like a tunic kind of thing, okay? And so what you would do is when you would gird your waist, you would pull up the bottom of your tunic to the top and put it in your belt. Why? Because then you can move more freely, all right? And so the long flowing outer robe had to be tucked into a belt before traveling or working. So that's why they did that, so they could move around more easily. And so he says, let your waist be girded and your lamps be burning. In other words, the lamps they had, and we talked about this a couple Wednesday nights ago in Psalm 119, the lamps they had were about this big, and you would put oil in them and you'd light the wick, and the light only showed enough to take the next step. But you had to have oil in the lamp. Here's what he's saying. Ready? You know what he's saying? He's saying, be ready. He's saying to them, be ready. Be ready. And you yourselves, be like men who wait. When he says there, wait, the idea there is to anticipate a future event, to look for, to wait for. So be those who wait for who? Their master. Now that word master is going to be used throughout this section we're going to cover this morning. The word in the Greek is kurios. Okay, it's kurios. Some of your translations, if you're using different translation, may translate it Lord. Okay, here's the idea of this word. It's power and authority. It's one who has control of a person. Okay, so if somebody is your master, that means that they have control of you. Now, as a Christian, who is to be our master?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ is to be our master. And so he says, and you yourselves be like the men who wait for their master when they will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. See, weddings, by the way, Jewish weddings last in those days lasted 7 days. And most of them were at night. That's why they had to have the lamp burning, ready to go, okay? The groom first had supper with his friends, then went to the house of his bride to claim her, then returned to his own house. Although it might be quite late, he expected his servants to be waiting and ready for him. See, you're supposed to be a ready servant waiting for your master to come back, is the idea here, okay? And notice how he says at the end of this verse, and knocks and may open to him immediately. Okay. You ever sitting at home and one of those salesmen comes to your door and you hear them knock, and most of us just sit there and go, oh man, I don't want this guy. So we just sit there. So we don't immediately answer the door. But let's say if you're waiting for somebody, you're waiting for an old friend, you're waiting for a family member you haven't seen in a while. Maybe you're waiting for your wife to come home. What do? When they come to the door, you immediately get up and you're ready, right? Because you want to receive them, because you want to meet them, you want to see them. So that's the idea here. He goes on in verse 37. Now, verses 35 and 36, the servants are those who are waiting. They're waiting for their master to return. So verse 37, blessed or happy or fortunate are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Watching. And that word for watch means, listen to what this word watch means, to keep awake, to stay awake. See, if you're not awake, it's hard for you to pay attention, isn't it? If you're not awake, it's hard to see what's going on around you, isn't it? When you're kind of sleepy, I had a friend once who, he told me a story. He used to work for this construction crew. It was a paving crew. And he would get up way early in the morning and he would go there and he'd be tired and all this stuff. Anyway, after his work day the one day, and it was during the summer, so it was really hot. So he was really, really tired one night. He was driving somewhere and he had just bought this Corvette. He saved up to buy this Corvette. Well, guess what happened? He was driving and he fell asleep and he got in an accident. He trashed his Corvette. Now, thank God he was okay, but see, he was tired. And do you ever find that when you're tired, you tend to start to compromise in your life? You tend to kind of start to get distracted? Because listen, we work in an age where everything is busy, right? We get on the hamster wheel every Monday morning. We jump on the hamster, we're running. And then when it comes to weekend time, what do? We want to sit in our chair. I have this recliner, and I've talked about this before. And some days I just want to sit in that recliner and not do anything. And you sit there and you begin to fall asleep. And you think, well, you know, I have every right because, you know, I worked hard this week and all these other things and stuff like that. Okay. But notice what he says here. We'll find watching. Now, in the Gospels, there is a description of when Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. If you read your Bible, you may know this. He goes and he tells three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, he tells them to watch. It's the same word here, to keep awake, to stay awake. So he goes off and he prays and he comes back and guess what? They're all sleeping. And he wakes up Peter and he says, Peter, can't you stay awake? And Jesus says to him an honest thing, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's the same word he uses here. So we'll find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. By the way, this would have been unheard of. See, what he's basically saying is, listen, if you're ready, if you're waiting and you're watching, your master's going to come back and then your master's going to serve you. See, that was unheard of. The masters never got and served the servants. But you remember the story in the Gospel of John chapter 13. What did Jesus do? Jesus gets up and he washes his disciples' feet. It's the same picture here that the master is going to come back and serve you. In fact, there's a Bible commentator from Germany. I know you read people who are German Bible commentators. But anyway, he thinks that this verse 37 is probably one of the most important verses in the entire Bible. Because if you really think about what he's saying here, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself. This is the master will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Who would do something like that? God would. Jesus would. So he goes on. And if he should come in the second watch, now the second watch would have been 9 o'clock at night to midnight, or come in the third watch, that would be midnight to 3 a.m., and find them so blessed are those servants. In other words, be ready at any time, at any moment. Okay? Because we all know, look, we go to bed at night, right, to get up for our next day for work. And so if somebody shows up at your door at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's something's up. I'll tell you a quick story. Where we live, we had a neighbor who had a donkey. A pony. I call him a donkey. A pony. Okay? This pony would get out. He'd go down the neighborhood. He'd come in our yard. Okay, so this was like a couple years ago. The neighbor's since moved on, and the horses and everybody are gone. But anyway, I hear this. 2 o'clock in the morning. Doorbell rings. I'm like, okay, what's going on? I get up. Here it's a cop. Policeman. He says, hey, sir, I hate to bother you, but do you have the phone number to your neighbor? I said, I do, but I don't think it works. I think it's out of service. I said, why? He's like, well, we have the pony sequestered in the backyard of your house. I said, oh, okay. So obviously, I wasn't expecting the policeman to come at 2 a.m, wake me up and tell me there's a pony in my backyard. By the way, the pony charged me once. It's a funny story. I'll have to tell you sometime. Anyway, but the point is this. Your master could come at any moment, and so you need to be ready. You need to be waiting. You need to be watching for it. Verse 39, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what the hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed this house to be broken into. In other words, this is obvious. If you had somebody who was going to rob you and say, hey, by the way, at 9 o'clock tomorrow, I'm coming to steal your stuff. Well, what would you do? You'd stay up and be ready for him, right? Or I'm coming tomorrow at 3 a.m. What would you do? You'd stay up and be ready for them, right? Or you at least call the police, right? You have them, okay? So he's making this point. These servants are waiting and they're watching for their master, okay? He goes on, and then he says this, verse 34, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man, that is Jesus he's talking about himself, the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Say, he's coming when you don't think he's coming. And you say to yourself, well, wait a minute. I would think that. I would be ready for that. Well, honestly, in your life, how busy do you get sometimes you forget things? You're so focused on something else, and you're not paying attention to what's going on around you. See, that's why you have to be waiting, and you have to be watching. You have to be awake. Wake for these things. So Peter interjects, as he often does. But see, again, we pick on Peter, but I love Peter because Peter asks questions that I would ask. Then Peter said to him, probably what you would ask, Lord, same word, kurios, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? Now, Jesus is not going to answer him directly, but how Jesus is going to answer is basically, we're all stewards. Every single one of us is stewards. Now, he says this, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? So let's look at this. Faithful and wise steward. Well, faithful, the idea there is being trustworthy. It's being reliable. It's being dependable. See, I don't know if you've noticed this, but when you work a job, if you're faithful, if you're dependable, oftentimes you're rewarded for that. You're rewarded for that. You show up on time. You do your work. My goodness, these days, if you just show up and work an 8-hour day and then a 40-hour work week and you're there every day, man, that's right there. That's faithfulness. And people are looking for that. And so being faithful, and that says wise. And that word for wise is interesting in the Greek. The idea there is prudent, sensible, practically wise. Practically wise. Okay? So who then is a faithful and wise steward? And steward, basically, guys, steward is one who rules the house. It's a manager or of a household. I remember years ago, okay? I remember that at one of my jobs, there was kind of like this path I could have took to become a manager. And I said, no, thank you. I didn't want to be a manager because I saw what they went through with managers who managed me and other people, not because of me, but what they managed. It was very hard. My last job, I kind of, not the job I'm at now, but the last job before that, I was kind of like a co-manager, co-supervisor. And it was hard to get people to work. It was hard to motivate them. It was hard to be managing people. And who then is a faithful and wise steward? So you're a manager. You're overseeing something. Now listen to what he says. Who then is a faithful, wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due time, or I'm sorry, due season or at the right time? And so what Jesus is getting at, look, we're all stewards. See, God has given you something to manage. Let's start here first, practically. Your own life, right? How are you managing your own life? Some of you run and do all kinds of crazy things and stuff. It's funny. As I get older and my body begins to break down more, I regret some of the things I did when I was younger. I was a bad steward over my body. It's a practical example. So now I try to exercise. I may not look like it, but I try to exercise, try to eat better than I used to. I'm still trying. Because, you know, one of the things is I don't want to be older and have all these health problems, okay? But here's the thing. I know as a man, you're taught, hey, you got a problem, just keep going. Just keep pushing yourself. You know, I know all that. Trust me. I get it. I get it as a guy. Trust me. But you've been given a steward over your own self. Here's another thing. If you're a husband, guess what God gave you? A wife. You're a steward over your wife. Doesn't mean necessarily you control her, but you're supposed to take care of her, right? You're supposed to be a good steward. Now, here's a great example. If you have kids, you steward. See, here's the thing that really you got to keep in mind here is, as a steward, God has given you this. It's God's. See, my boys that I've raised, okay, in a sense, they're my boys, but they're not. God gave me these boys to manage. God gave me these boys to steward over. And listen, I wasn't perfect all the time, but I did the best I could. I did the best I could. And, you know, when I blew it, I told them I blew it. When I tried to put him to the Lord. I tried to pour the scripture into their life. But now they're old. They're adult. Now they're going to do what they're going to do. But I did my job. I was trying to be a faithful steward over my kids. And listen, some of you may be sitting here. I don't know your backgrounds. And maybe you've totally blown it. Not too late. It's not too late to change that. It's not too late to change it. It's never too late with Jesus to change things in your life. Never. Never it is. God is the God of second, third, fourth, 40 chances. He's always there and he's willing to help you. So who then is a faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give their portion of food in due time? And listen, this is an interesting story. I've told this before. Maybe some of you know this. Okay. Here's a practical way of being a good steward. When my wife and I got married, we had kids. At one point, we were looking for a church to go to. And so we were searching, we were trying different churches. And the church that we went to, that I sensed the Lord was telling us to go to, at first my wife didn't want to go. So what did we do? So I compromised and said, okay, honey, we'll just go here. No. I said, you know what, hon? Listen, I really believe the Lord is leading us here. You'll see. And guess what? We did, and the rest is history. It's the church that sent us to plant this church. I just had a sense. But see, here's the point. Sometimes being a faithful and wise steward means sometimes you have to say no to people. Sometimes you know what's best. Because as a faithful and wise steward, what are you doing? You're waiting. You're watching. You're looking with the future in mind, in a sense. And so you're going to make decisions that maybe short-term people aren't going to like, but long-term they have a value. You understand what I'm trying to say here? So many people settle for all the wrong reasons. Okay? Listen, I don't know where all you guys go to church, or some of you guys go here, which is great, whatever. But listen, my advice to you is this. Go to a church where the Bible is being taught. Go to a church where the Bible is being taught, because you're going to learn. I know from my own experience, that's one of the reasons why we went where we went, because I knew that's what my kids needed to hear. I knew what I needed to hear. I knew what my wife needed to hear. And my goodness, I'm so glad I made that decision. As hard as it was of a decision to make initially, I made a decision because that's what God wanted. I was trying to be a good steward, trying to be a faithful and wise steward. Verse 43, blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing so when he comes. So when the master comes back, you're taking care of what you're responsible for. Are you taking care of what you're responsible for? I will say this, as being a steward over your own body, one of the best ways to take care of your body is become a Christian. Become a disciple. Become a follower of Jesus. Make him a priority in your life. You're never going to regret it. Never. I've been a Christian now for over 20 some years, and I don't regret it once. There's never been a day where I think, why, I made a bad mistake here. No, never, never. And, you know, I've been through some pretty dark times, some pretty tough things, but I've never regretted becoming a Christian. Never, never. So again, blessed, verse 43, is that servant whom his master will find doing so when he comes. Again, taking care of his household. Verse 44, truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. See, here's the cool thing. I don't know if you know this as a Christian. If you come to the Lord, guess what's going to happen? Eventually, the Bible says we are going to rule and reign with Christ. So if you're a faithful steward now, when he comes back, eventually when he's ruling the world, when he's literally living here for a 1,000-year reign of Christ, we're going to be ruling and reigning with him. What does that look like? I have no idea. But you know what? I can't wait to find out. I can't wait to find out. But that's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible teaches. And by the way, if we're all stewards, right? If he's given us that call, in a sense, other people's lives should be blessed because of our stewardship. See, my sons are blessed if I am a faithful steward. My sons will be blessed by that. Your wives will be blessed by that. Where you work will be blessed by that. See, listen, another way that we can be a wise and faithful steward, if God gives you a job, then do the job to the best of your ability. Do the job unto the Lord. I've done that my entire career. And every time I've done that, God has blessed me at the job. Now, he's moved me on. My wife and I were just talking the other night. I've had, in the course of over 25 years, because that's as long as we've been married, I've had probably 7 jobs. And the job I'm at now, I love it. Probably the best job I ever had. If my boss ever hears this, it's the best job I ever had. But seriously, in every job I tried to be a faithful and wise steward with what God gave me was this job. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. I understand there are times where God will move you on. Obviously, he did in my life. There's a season for everything. But no matter where God put me, I try to be faithful and wise. Am I always good, perfect at it? No, I'm not. And honestly, guys, as I was studying this passage of scripture, man, was I convicted. I can think back in my life, especially when I was younger, I was not wise. I was not faithful at being a good steward, managing things. And it hurt my family. It hurt my family financially. And we're still paying for that in a sense. Because I wasn't a wise steward. I wasn't a faithful steward over what God gave me. See, it's like God gives you this family and you're like, okay, I got to do a good job now. I got to be a good husband. I got to be a good father. I got to be a good example. And see, the only way I'm able to do that is with the Lord. The Lord does this. He works this in me and through me. So I give him the glory for that. But verse 44 again, truly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. That day is coming. Verse 45, but if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk. See, here's the thing. Some people have this attitude, oh, Jesus isn't coming back. The master's not coming back, so I can do whatever I want. So let's do this. Let's start mistreating people. Let's start being the men and maid servants. Let's start to eat, like, to the point of gluttony, okay? I'll eat whatever I want. Who cares? And again, you know, that's relevant to us, isn't it? Because if you don't manage your body well, what's going to happen? You're going to have all kinds of problems when you get older. Isn't it funny how we live in a culture today that they're pushing you to buy and eat all kinds of garbage that's bad for you? And all the good stuff costs so much more, isn't it? We just went grocery shopping last night. I'm looking at this and I'm like, I cannot believe just meat. Meat has gone up so much, okay? Meat has gone up so much. But my point is, it's funny how you watch, like you watch, everybody's going to watch Super Bowl probably tomorrow, right? Okay? You have all these commercials, right? For beer, for food, for all this stuff. Like you have a Super Bowl party. We're going to have nachos and all kinds of stuff and, you know, all kinds of things. But if you eat in excess of that, what happens? You get in bad shape. You don't become a very good steward of your own body. And so, again, he says, the master's not coming. He begins to beat his maid and menservants and maidservants to eat and to drink and be drunk. Listen, as a Christian, is it wrong to have a drink? No, but it's wrong to get drunk. I don't drink as a pastor. I don't. I don't want to anyway. I've said this before, so take with it what you want. I don't drink beer because beer looks like pee, so I don't want to look at anything that looks like pee. Just saying. Hey, you could argue apple juice does too, but hey, okay, okay. Okay. Just saying, fellas. You do with it what you want. But here's the point. You're thinking he's not coming, so now you're compromising. Now you're backsliding. Now you're starting to think, well, I can kick back and do whatever I want because he's not coming. The thing is, he's coming. And see, as we live this life, Jesus is going to come back today. If not today, tomorrow. But he's coming back. It's getting closer. If you look at our culture, you look at our world, you see the signs. He's coming back. There are things happening that have never happened in the history of mankind that Scripture has prophesied about. So he's coming. And the reason why the Bible is written in a way that no matter what generation read that and thought he was coming back was why? If you know he's coming back, that should change the way you live. If you know he's coming back. Like, okay, I remember when we first got married and we'd have like my parents over or my in-laws over for dinner. And so it would be like the first time they're coming. So what do? Make sure the house is clean. Make sure the food is good. Because what do you want to do? You want to present and say, okay, my son or my daughter, they're married. They're doing really well. They're doing okay, right? It's the same thing when you start to date a girl, right? You try to present yourself nice. You put deodorant on, you shave, all those things. And then after you get married, that goes all out the window. You ever notice that? You get a fat gut then, whatever, you know, I'm just saying. But here's the point. You prepare for this. Why? Because you know that they're coming. You know that they're coming. You prepare for that. For all the more that we should prepare for Christ is coming. So we want to be waiting. We want to be watching. And this section we're going through, we want to be working. We want to do his business. He's going to come. So verse 46, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and an hour when he is not aware and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with unbelievers. Now, here's the thing. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody came upon you quickly and you weren't ready for it? How does that make you feel? Doesn't make you feel very good, does it? Doesn't make you feel very good. He goes on. And that servant who knew his master's will, listen, who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. In other words, you knew it, but didn't do it. You knew what God's will was for you. See, the idea there is, you know, the knowledge of what's coming or what's expected, but you decide to do your own thing. You decide to do your own thing. See, many of us guys in our life, we become a Christian. We walk with the Lord, and the Lord wants us to do certain things, and we don't do it. We don't do it. Look, there's general things we should do. We should be praying. We should be reading our Bible. We should be coming to church. Fellowship with other believers. Okay. But each of us, God gives us something to do in our life. Are you doing it? See, and I don't know what that is. Only you and God know that. But are you doing it? Are you allowing the things of this world? Are you thinking, well, you know what? I know the Bible says he's coming back, but he's not going to come back anytime soon, so I can do whatever I want. No, that's not a faithful and wise servant. That's not a servant who's waiting. That's not a servant who's watching. That's not a servant who's working, doing his Lord's business. He goes on, but he who did not know yet committed things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few. Now listen, this whole being of stripes and being cut asunder, do I fully understand what he's saying here? No, but it doesn't sound good. So I want no parts of it. None. He goes on, for everyone to whom much is given, listen, from him much will be required. To whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Interesting. I'm going to share something with you that I have found in my life. I'm going to share something with you, okay? The more faithful you are, the more God will bring you more. He'll empower you and he'll give you more revelation. The more faithful you are. Okay. I'll put it to you practically in my life. As a pastor, the more that I remain faithful to what God's called me to, the more he's going to reveal what he wants me to do. Does that make sense?
Amen.
The more he trusts me, because if I'm faithful and I'm wise with what he's given me, he could trust me, so he's going to give me more. See, some of you might be like living a life and you feel like there's got to be something more. Well, there is, but the reason that you're not given more is because you're not being a faithful and wise steward. That's why. You're not being a faithful and wise servant to him. Because what this is what happens. When you begin to backslide, when you begin to kind of be like the servant who says his master is not coming. When you begin to do that, when you begin to kind of get away from it, you know what happens is God begins to pull away from you in a sense. See, the Bible talks about like this. You grieve the Holy Spirit. Then you quench the Holy Spirit. And then guess what? You're on your own, basically. He lets you on your own. Because God is a gentleman, guys. God's never going to force you to do something you don't want to do. See, that's not a real relationship. See, when I got married to my wife, I didn't like hold a gun to her head and say, you must marry me. She chose to marry me. That's a real relationship. So we can choose whether to be a faithful, wise steward when it comes to the Lord, or we choose not. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. Let me read something to you about all this. Who then is the faithful and wise steward? This is the basic question. The faithful steward is the one who looks for the Lord's return and serves faithfully in his absence, knowing that much faithfulness is what the master desires. Because listen, if you're faithful to what God has given you, guess what? People are watching you. See, I want to be an example to my wife and to my boys, to my kids. I want to be an example to all of you. And it's not so I can brag. It's because I want to picture Christ to you in a sense. I want to be a servant of the Lord. I want to be faithful and wise. Is it easy? The answer is no, it's not. It's hard. This world doesn't help, does it? And guys, we're men, right? We're all men here. I don't know if you've noticed lately from if I watch the news, men stink, right? Men stink. Men are stupid. You know, my family, I used to watch this sitcom when they were younger. I didn't like the sitcom. You know why? They made the dad a bumbling fool. They made him a bumbling fool. I hate that. I hate that. My dad wasn't a bumbling fool. You know, and I don't like that portrayal, but here's what's happening. Okay? You're seeing this culture today. Okay? You're seeing this culture today, and that's where they're pushing towards. But see, as men, guys, I don't know if you know this, but we were one of the things that God created us to be was leaders. Was to be leaders. See, if men lead, things change. You ever notice that? If men lead, things change. And I understand, trust me, I understand the pressures of this life. You want to do a good job, you want to provide for your family, right? There's nothing wrong with that. I totally understand that. Okay? There's things that you want to do, but here's the point. All of that means nothing if you don't have the Lord. If you don't have the Lord. Because who are you supposed to be serving? You're supposed to be serving him. And see, that's different for all of us in this sense. He's going to take you places that you may never have imagined you'd go. You can ask my dad, who's here today. When I was 18, my dad could probably sit there and tell you, there's no way I would have thought my son would be a pastor today. He's right. I had no idea what God had in store for me. But see, all along the way, as I got saved and started to follow him, I tried to be faithful. I tried to be a wise steward over what he gave me. Like I said, I wasn't always perfect at it. Trust me, I wasn't. But see, here's the cool thing. Even though you're not perfect at it, God will help you. And sometimes, guys, even God is so gracious that he fixes the mistakes you make. He fixes them. But see, so listen, what am I all getting at here? And what am I trying to say to you guys? What do you think the Lord's trying to say to all of us is, look, he's saying we need to be ready. We need to be servants. We need to be faithful and wise stewards who are waiting, who are watching, and who are working for our master. And who's our master? It's Jesus. Because Jesus is coming back. He's coming back, I guarantee it. I know when he's coming back. You know when he's coming back? He's coming back when he wants to come back. But he's going to come back at a time we don't expect. And why is that? Do you know that the second coming of Christ and those things related to is the broadest subject in the New Testament? Why? Because if you have this expectation that at any moment Jesus is going to come back, what's that going to do for us? It's going to change us. Hopefully it's going to change us. Hopefully it's going to motivate us to be a faithful and wise steward. Amen? All right, let's stop there. We'll pray. Wow. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you, Lord. And I know here this morning, Lord, I know that there are people this morning, Lord, who needed to hear this. I know it, Holy Spirit. I know it. I needed to hear this, quite frankly. Lord, we know that you're drawing near, that you're coming back. And so, Lord, for these men, in these men's lives, make us all, Lord, make us all faithful and wise stewards over the things that you have given to us, our families, our jobs, the ministries, the gifts of God that you've given to us, Lord. Help us to be faithful and wise stewards. I know that we want to follow you. I know that we want to be ready. Father, I pray this morning, if there's anyone here who is sitting at this breakfast, or anyone who may listen to this message later, who doesn't know you, who hasn't made you the Lord or master of their life, I pray this morning simply they would say this: Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. And Jesus, I know you died on the cross for my sins. Jesus, will you forgive me of my sins and be the Lord of my life from this day forward? And I pray that if they prayed that prayer, they would tell me or tell somebody else. And then, Lord, for those of us who do know you, who do know you, God, help us to be wise and faithful stewards. Help us to realize the blessings in our life that you've given to us. And those blessings, Lord, we would be good stewards over. We thank you so much, Lord, for your faithfulness and your grace. We thank you for your mercy and your love for each one of us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.